Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
For at least the next little bit, it is the Scraby Show. I'm actually filling in for Gwyn and Chris. Tony and I did do something before the show. We're going to go through some of the Padres' projections for 2026 and see if we agree with them, see if they are suitable, see if they're projections that will produce a winning team. So that will be in about 20 minutes. We also have the biggest fan to give away at like 5:35. So the college football playoff game started off first play of the game, pick six for Indiana. They went up 7-0. I don't believe anything else has happened yet. Oregon was trying to drive down the field, but Indiana looks fired up, and they look slightly like a team of destiny with their 14-0 record that they got. We were watching during a break some of the coverage of it, and all the players were making fun of Indiana's head coach, Kurt Cignetti, because he has like this eyebrow that just is always up in the air, and it's always like looking at you. And all the players do the eyebrow, which I thought was really, really funny. But you should go look up Kurt Cignetti's eyebrow. But we'll just go through some of the news of the day so far. And right before the show, I think the biggest story of the day for San Diego, at least, is that San Diego FC said today that they were working on the exit of Mexico star Chucky Lozano after just one season with the club. They said, "We have communicated with Herving and his representatives that he will not be a part of the sporting plans moving forward." That was from Tyler Heaps, the sporting director of SDFC. He said, "We're working with him and his representatives to find the best solution and the best environment for him moving forward." He was signed. He's the fifth highest earner in Major League Soccer last year with guaranteed pay of $7.6 million, apparently making transfer potentially difficult. Heap said they're open to anything right now, and they believe that a sale of Lozano is the best for all parties. They could do a loan, but they'd rather do a sale. Long story short, I believe whatever happened last year, but whatever happened at the end of the SDFC season last year with Chucky getting into that confrontation with someone, we don't really know much of what happened inside the locker room, but it seems like it didn't ever get better. So they're looking to move on from Chucky, and you know, it's unfortunate that it didn't work out because it seemed like he liked being here in San Diego. But in the end, it was a verbal altercation in the locker room after a couple matches, and they ended up punishing him. And I guess we shouldn't be surprised that this is the result, but it doesn't look like Chucky Lozano will be playing for SDFC anymore. Earlier, I asked people on the chat if this was a big deal, little deal, or no deal, and I got nothing from anyone, which usually I get some response, which tells me I guess this is a no deal. I, you know, obviously am not the soccer expert of the station, but Chucky Lozano, it seems to me like Anders Dreyer was more important than Chucky Lozano, and Chucky Lozano was also hurt this year, so he didn't get as much playing time. But whatever happened to the team in that locker room verbal altercation between Chucky Lozano and someone else, it is tearing the team apart. But actually, I think it's a better thing for the team because now they know that they can move on from Chucky Lozano and they can get the good vibes back in their locker room. Tony and I saw a picture earlier this week of some of the players already back and practicing and getting ready for the season. So that is a short off season. Renee says maybe World Cup, maybe, but I don't think that would mean that he would have to leave the team unless he just didn't want to play for the team anymore. And anything honestly, that I'm going to say is speculation, because we really don't have any idea as to why the relationship with Chucky Lozano went bad. And it did. So there you go. They're going to try to sell him. They might loan him, but they want to have a sale, is what I guess they're saying. They just want to be done with it. They want to cut ties. They want to be done. If you don't know, we're broadcasting live from the Bill House Studios. We know how. And we started the show with an article from Dennis Lynn. And we talked about AJ Casavell's article earlier this week, of kind of some of the holes that they have and that the Padres need to fill. Dennis Lynn wrote about, in The Athletic, he wrote about some of the other questions. Like, why hasn't AJ Preller been extended yet? And there's a complicating factor, according to Dennis Lynn, that in 2024, Eric Grubner was extended through at least the 2029 season. And would AJ Preller want at least a contract that goes until 2029? Stammen's deal goes through 2028. So maybe AJ Preller wants at least to get to that 2029, because it's an Eric Grubner and AJ Preller creation, the party every night that happens at Petco Park. So I believe that they both have a hand in what's happening down there. And I think that AJ should be extended as long as Eric Grubner is, because they should be I can't say a package deal, because they have different jobs within the organization. But it would, if I'm AJ Preller, I want to stay as long as I can. And so I would want a deal that lines me up with the CEO, because you know that come contract negotiation time, most likely the CEO is not going anywhere unless something crazy happens. So I would want to be involved until then. And we don't know what is being offered to AJ. We don't know what AJ's asking. So really, this is another Chucky Lozano situation where things have been so quiet from this, and no news has happened in a little bit. I believe that there's some holdup. There's some disagreement. But obviously, those disagreements, they could figure it out. They could come to terms, and we could all forget about this. It is slightly interesting that we started talking about AJ Preller and the news that they were talking about extending him all the way back when the season ended, and we're still here today, and we haven't actually had official news in quite some time. So if I believe AJ Casavell said earlier this week, if they get to the season and he doesn't have an extension, then it's time to worry. But up until then, we have to just deal with it. Next, what Dennis Lynn was talking about, how much starting pitching do the Padres still need? And Tony and I went through this. We talked about, you know, the four guys in the rotation already: Nick Pivetta, Michael King, Joe Musgrove, Randy Vasquez. You also need a fifth starter. So the answer is probably yes, they need more starting pitching. Starting pitching. And then another question that I've been asking on the Scraby Show is, who's going to play first base? And according to Dennis Lynn, it doesn't seem likely that Luis Arraez is coming back. That's what I'm reading. So if that isn't going to happen, then what direction do they go? I personally really wanted Ryan O'Hearn to come back. And for the price that he had, or he signed for, 2 years, $29 million, I think that's an affordable deal for the Padres. But they don't have anyone to play first base right now. The first baseman is Gavin Sheets. And you can put Jake Cronenworth at first base, but then who are you going to put at second base? So they do need to figure out what's going on here with first base. That's the left field of last year. Last year was always, what are we going to do in left field? No one's playing left field, blah, 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 blah. And they found someone to play left field, and they got through it okay. So I'm assuming that they're going to get through it okay again. But here's that part about Luis Arraez that makes me sad. League sources continue to indicate a reunion with Luis Arraez is unlikely. Because of his defensive limitations and lack of power, the three-time batting champion was never an ideal roster fit. So If it was never an ideal roster fit, then why did they trade for him in the first place? I mean, it's hard to disagree with Dennis Lynn. He knows more baseball than I do, but it doesn't seem like when he came to the team, he was a roster fit. But I guess in some people's minds, he was not. And last year, we saw some of the limitations, defensive limitations, lack of power, lack of walks, and things like that. And so I guess I can understand why the Padres want to stay away. But I still think he fits right in. I still think he fits into this team. And at least, I know Luis Arraez probably wants a longer deal. But at least for the short term, he could play first base for the Padres. Last one is, how much spending room is left? And we asked this question. We all don't know. But according to Dennis Lynn, the Padres seemingly considered attempting to sign both Michael King and Merrill Kelly. Merrill Kelly ended up going to the Arizona Diamondbacks and signed a 2-year, $40 million deal. But this gives me a little bit of an indication that there is some money there for the Padres to spend. They signed King for $75 million over 3 years. So let's just go. I guess we'll just go with the next year value, which is $25 million for King and then $20 million for Merrill Kelly. So that's $45 million total. And if they're able to sign both of those guys, if they were to do that in succession, then, or even if they this report has some truth to it, it makes me feel a little bit better about the money situation with the Padres and the potential sale and all of that. And if they were able to think about spending $40 million on a player, let's just say they matched the offer, or at least came close to the offer, that means they have some money. They have some money, and that's a good feeling. Because, you know, throughout the break, I was thinking about how they're going to build this team, and I'm like, if they don't get any more money, this team is going to struggle. Because they still need to add around the fringes. And you could do that, and you could do that cheap, but you also are going to have to go out there and pay a little bit more money on someone else. Because you can't just rely on signing someone and hoping. You want to go out there, you want to get a guy that's going to produce for you, and you know he's going to produce for you. And with a little bit more money, there's a little bit more wiggle room, and that does make me feel better. So thank you to Dennis Lynn for writing the article in The Athletic. You should go check it out. If you haven't checked it out, the college football playoff semifinal. Oregon went down the field after throwing that pick six, and they scored, so it's 7-7. Indiana now driving on Oregon's side of the field in the first quarter. So I'll keep you up to date on that. But when we get back, Tony and I went through the projections from Fangraphs for Padres players in 2026, and we'll talk about whether we agree with them or if we want the players to do more, if the projections are enough. All of that is next on 97.3.
You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if I...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Bam.
Indeed, into the 5 o'clock hour, the happy hour, as we like to call it. Tony Gwynn Jr., Matt Scraby, Chris Ello, on his way to Reno. Where are they going?
Utah State. Or Utah somewhere. He was very concerned last night when he left. After you left, he was like, if anything breaking happens, just give me a call. I was like, Chris, it's okay.
You're done, traveling. Buddy. You're done.
You're traveling, bro.
Nonetheless, we try to finish off the show here. Scrabe, you got a little baseball for us. It's a little predictions.
Yes. I saw Fangraphs posted the depth chart for the Padres and their current projections and everything. And funny note about that, Xander Bogaerts is 3.3. Not sure what that means. Manny Machado is 3.2. So they're saying that Xander Bogaerts is going to be slightly better than Manny Machado this year.
And this is who are they?
This is the Zimborski Zips.
Okay.
Fangraphs. Okay. Yes. So I went to like the standard stats to make it easy on us to figure this one out. And so I went and just pulled the main players. Now, who do you think they projected to have the most home runs?
Real quick, the article in which you are talking about is specifically about the Padres.
It's about the Padres. He did one for each team.
The Padres are real contenders, but the rotation is on an iffy ground, according to Zimborski.
Yeah, Zimborski. Yeah. I think it's Zimborski. Yeah, anyway, who do you think they projected to have the most home runs?
Toddy.
You're right. That one was easy. They're projecting him to have 30 home runs. They're projecting him to hit 275 and drive in 78 guys. I guess that means
they're
putting him at the leadoff.
Leadoff again.
Yeah, I guess he's putting him at the leadoff. Do you think that he's going to be leadoff this year?
I don't know. Stam, probably, who has watched quite a bit of this team, probably has his own ideas where he could see Toddy fitting in. He might leave him there. He might move him. I mean, it probably is contingent on you having somebody to be in that spot.
Yeah.
Is there somebody in the team right now that you'd want there?
I don't know. What about Ramon Laureano? We've thrown that out there.
I don't know. He's got some sock, man.
Yeah, he does.
I don't know if you want to put him up
and
there.
And I have a feeling that Luis Arraez is going to come back.
Let's just talk about what we have right now.
I don't think there's another leadoff hitter on the team right now.
Yeah.
They also predict him to steal the most bases on the team with 24, and his walks at 67, which would be down. So I don't know if they're quite recognizing the new Fernando.
We'll see. That's the beauty of it.
Yes. Manny Machado, 26 home runs, 268 batting average. This is pretty easy, actually. I could predict this because he literally does the same thing every single year. 85 RBIs and, like I said, 268 average. I would like to see more home runs for Manny. 26 seems a little light. I need him to be up at the 29-30.
I just want to see more stakes. 85, I want
to... 85 needs to be 100.
And, you know, again, that's... If he's hitting 265, I could see that being higher contingent, especially if Toddy is hitting 275 with 30 of his own.
Yeah, that would help out a lot.
He's going to be on base, I would assume.
Now, the Jackson Merrill one I was very excited about. And by the way, they projected these guys through only like 134 games.
You seen Jackson stroke here this offseason?
I have not. Is it looking great?
It's looking quite nice.
Oh,
that
makes me excited. 23 home runs for Jackson Merrill. They're projecting 77 RBIs, 269 batting average for him with 29 doubles.
Huh? Yeah. How many homers?
23, which is about right, probably.
I think he's going to hit higher than 260.
Yeah, I would say 269 seems a little bit low for what Jackson's done in the past.
I think he's going to get better. He's going to get better at managing the zone. He's going to he already gets into those grooves where he doesn't miss his pitch.
Yeah,
and if he's just laying off some of the bull junk that's out there that they throw him,
the high fastball,
man, he's going to be nice. Or he learns how to get to that on a consistent basis. One of the two.
Do you in the offseason, as a baseball player, go and just see high fastballs all offseason?
No, you don't do it all offseason, but you definitely address it, you know.
And work at it.
You try to work at it, for sure.
The next one, this one is surprising. Maybe not surprising, but Xander Bogaerts, they're thinking, is returning to form. 270 batting average, 13 home runs, 57 RBIs, and 24 doubles with 14 stolen bases. And he was a base stealing machine last year.
Nobody would mind that. I think that's the hope, is that he can kind of get back to playing at the level that he had become accustomed to playing.
He certainly looked like he was doing that at the end of the year.
And I should say, he's gotten to that point at some point in the season the last 2 years.
Yeah.
3 years. But we would like to see it like full season.
Yes, full season. We need full season Xander. Ramon Laureano, 243 batting average, 17 home runs, 57 RBIs.
Oh, so they don't believe it. They don't believe it. They don't think what we saw last year for a whole season was was the real Ramon Laureano.
He's had 2 years in his career where he's been like he was last year, and the rest of the years around those numbers. So maybe happy medium somewhere.
Maybe
20 home runs and .270 batting.
I think he can put up a similar year. I do.
All right.
I think he's capable of it.
Gavin Sheets, .244 batting average. Now this is disappointing. 14 home runs for Gavin Sheets. 54 RBIs for him.
Yeah.
I think he's got to have 20.
That may also be because they don't think he's going to be in there every
day.
That's
true. They gave him 407 at-bats. Everybody's in the 500s.
Yeah, it's not, you know.
And
you give him 100 more at-bats, you get a different projection, I think.
Yeah, well, yeah, you definitely get a couple more home runs. But I hope that he hits more than 14 home runs. That means that he's playing a lot. Jake Cronenworth, .236. 13 homers, 56 RBIs for Jake Cronenworth. .236 is not going to get it done.
I don't know. He's going to hit .236. We'll see.
Yeah, .236 is not something I'm interested in. It doesn't really matter, but it's not something I'm interested in. I think Jake Cronenworth has been maligned a little bit because I think
by who?
Fans.
Oh, yeah.
I think he's had better seasons than we give him credit for. And it's hard to see his better seasons because he's not hitting 25 home runs, 30 home runs. He does it throughout the year. And I think we give him too hard a time.
I don't know what I don't know what kind of time you guys give him, but I think if you watch him on a daily basis, there are a lot of things he does that you just don't show up on his stat sheet. And I know that's hard for some people to quite understand because there's not a statistic for it.
But it's the truth.
It is.
It's the truth. Chris always says, how can this guy be the negative defense war? Blah, 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 blah. I've seen this guy. I've seen him.
That's my opinion on it.
You're probably right. But Jake Cronenworth, if he hits .250 to .265, I think that's perfect.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I've done a lot of number crunching.
.260 to .265.
.250 to .265.
.250, okay.
Giving him a little bit of leeway. Freddie Fermin, .249, 10 home runs, 42 RBIs. I think that would be acceptable.
I saw Freddie swinging, too. I saw him. He had posted some video of himself. I don't know if he posted it or if someone posted it of him watching him hit, but he's got to get ready, man.
This is going to be starting before we know it. Luis Campusano, they gave him 80 games, 10 homers, 37 RBIs, .247 batting average. We'll see about that. Sung Moon Song. Ooh, shoot. Yeah, never mind. 86 games.
What was that?
I don't know. My brain went crazy for a second, and I had to rein it back in. It's Friday at 5:25 or something, so we are close to the weekend. .248 for Sung Moon Song, 7 home runs, 33 RBIs, 8 stolen bases in 86 games. I don't know how much he's going to play, so I don't have any numbers to crunch there.
Yeah.
There's no analysis until we see it.
100%. Like, you just don't know.
Did I get everyone? Yeah, I did. So there's the Fangraphs steamer projections, which I'm not a fan of the word steamer. It makes me think of something else, but hey, I like looking at projections. I told you, 5:30 almost in the Friday.
Yeah, no, I mean, listen, I don't know that they're going to believe that it's 5:30, considering that there's light in the window behind you on our screen, that you're going to get a lot of.
Oh, yes. 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 We're actually doing this in Hawaii, Tony.
Exactly.
We went to Hawaii this morning. Didn't you remember that?
Nonetheless, let's get to break. On the other side, you'll get the last bit of happy hour here on Gwen and Chris. Interview of the week.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back into the Bill Howe Studios. We know how here on 97.3 The Fan. Final segment of the week. I feel like vacation, which was just a week ago, I feel like it was like a month ago at this point. But we are back in the groove, everybody. We're going to hear from Jesse Agler here in just a second. Jesse was on earlier with us. If you don't know, Jesse is an alum of the University of Miami, and he went to the game last night with his son in Phoenix and saw his Miami Hurricanes win and move on to the national championship. So we caught up with him on about that. And then we also talked to him about the return of Michael King, and he had a really good answer about the return of Michael King. So stick around for that. But right now we have our biggest fan. I'm a little bit late on it. I'm sorry, but here it is. Congratulations to today's biggest fan, Caitlin Forte of Chula Vista. Give us a call within the next 10 minutes at 833-288-0973, and you'll qualify for our grand prize. 20 tickets for you and your friends for a night in our Odyssey Suite at a Padres game with all of the fan staff later this season, catered by Spiro's Mediterranean Cuisine. Remember to register your name at 973thefansd.com/biggest fan. Caitlin Forte of Chula Vista, 833-288-0973. Your time starts now. I'm sorry to the peeps on the chat. They have been waiting for their name to be called. So if Adam's listening, please go in there and find a way to put Renee on this list. Please. Because Renee listens every single day, and her name has not been called, and she has been trying to win, or at least qualify. So, Adam Klug, if you're listening, find a way to put Renee on the list. Indiana, while right after I said that they were tied 7-7, they went up 14-7, and it looks like, oh wow, they just picked up a fumble near the end zone of Oregon, and the quarterback threw it and it fell out of his hand. It just slipped out of his hand. That is crazy. Anyway, Indiana's up 14-7 in the second quarter with I think they're on like the 2-yard line, ready to score, 3-yard line. So Indiana could be going up 21-7 here, and the quarterback of the Ducks, Moore, he has thrown a pick six, and he has fumbled in his own 5-yard line. That is not a great day. That is not a great day at all. All right, we do have Jesse Agler. Let me see. Do I have any other housekeeping? I don't have any other housekeeping. Actually, you know what? I do have some housekeeping. I just remembered. I saw this on Twitter while in the break, and it answers some of our questions about whether or not the Padres and the Mets were going to trade. But from this account, Mets Muse, it says, talks between the Mets and Padres surrounding all-star closer Mason Miller never really went anywhere, per John Heyman. A potential blockbuster trade could have involved Pivetta, Laureano, Morihone, and Estrada, but the Padres were looking for an overwhelming return. So there you go. Basically what we said the entire time. We don't believe it. We don't believe these talks. I don't believe anything from the rumor world until they actually are announced by the team itself. But it's good to know that the Padres are asking for an overwhelming return. I'd rather them ask for an overwhelming return. So again, that trade talk between Mason Miller, Padres, Mets, it never really went anywhere, according to John Heyman. Indiana did indeed score. They're up 20-7. We got some traffic. And then Jesse Agler.
From the 855 Get Ross Traffic Center, protecting San Diego after accidents or injury, here's Kelly Danik.
Lanes have reopened north and south on 5 transition to the Coronado Bridge. Police have wrapped up their activities, so definitely some good news for anyone heading over to the island. North on 163 near the Laurel Street Bridge, there is a collision involving a motorcycle. Everything's over to the right shoulder. And traveling on eastbound King Freeway, accident has cleared just before 32nd Street. South on the 15 before Adams Avenue, there is a stalled vehicle being moved over to the right shoulder. Westbound 8 before the 805, collision over to the right shoulder. I'm Kelly Danik with Gwen and Chris, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
graduated from the University of Miami, and he got to go to the semifinal matchup last night. I got to say, Jess, when I saw the first photo, I stared at it for like 10 minutes. I was like, is he not? He's no way he's there. He's not there. And then as I text you, you eventually got back and said that you and Jonah were both there. How did were you planning this the whole time, like if they got to this point?
Yeah, when they were announced that they were in the playoff, you know, I got the emails immediately from the school about get your tickets. And, you know, they had the prices listed for each round. And I was like, well, I'm not going to fly to Dallas for the second round. I was like, that kind of feels unreasonable. I was like, but they're going to be in Phoenix, third round. You know, it wasn't cheap, but it wasn't like ridiculous. I was like, all right, I'll put a deposit down on that. And, you know, you get it back if they don't make that round. And I didn't necessarily think that they were going to get that far. So I did that. And, you know, I was looking at the national championship game. Of course, it's back, you know, in Miami, and yeah, the prices for that were exorbitant. So I was like, all right, I'll like make the semifinal the plan. I can drive over. It's during winter break, so I'll bring Jonah. And so, yeah, that was the idea. Maybe they surprised me a little bit by getting that far, by, you know, beating Texas A&M and beating Ohio State, but that's a pleasant surprise. And, man, it was awesome. Like, that's the first time I've been to a Miami football game as a fan since I moved to San Diego, you know, 13 years ago or whatever it is now. So it was cool. It was worth the wait, that's for sure.
That it was a terrific game, first and foremost. And I was feeling every moment with you as the game was going along. I knew exactly how you were feeling. You took Jonah with you, took your son with you. Tell us what that was like. Well, from what I know, Jonah's hasn't been super interested in the sport, so the fact that you got him there, I was super pumped for you.
Yeah, it was cool. You know, he's definitely not like the world's biggest sports fan. He has like, and he's very smart. He's like got this intellectual curiosity about sports more than like a fan interest, if that makes sense.
Right.
So like, you know, I'm trying to get him into it, and he's like on a website on my phone, like reading the rules of football. Like that's kind of like, you know, that's what he's up to. But you know, I mean, this was his first football game. It was tough because everybody stood the entire time,
right?
And he's nine,
right?
And he's a tall 9 year old, but he's still nine, and there's a 50 year old man in front of him, so he couldn't see the field. So and like he didn't want to stand on his seat, you know, and like so he had a hard time kind of seeing everything. So it was maybe not like the best experience from that standpoint for him, for like watching the game. But I think, you know, being in that environment was eye opening to him. You know, we had a lot of talk about when cursing is and is not appropriate after the fact, because yeah, it's a big football game. Like it's nonstop the entire time, and you know, we were in the Miami section, kind of in the corner of the end zone there. So like, you know, anytime anything good happened for the Canes, you know, everybody around us who he had never met in his life until, you know, an hour before, they're high fiving, and he's looking at me like, am I allowed to high five these people? You know, it was like it's all that kind of stuff. So it was cool, you know, kind of having that experience. My wife asked me when we got home like 20 minutes ago, she's like, do you think he's going to be like a big football fan now? I was like, no, I think we went backwards on that. But like, nonetheless, it was awesome and something I know I will, you know, forever cherish. And the rest of the trip, he had a great time. They had a cool like robotic Froyo machine at the stadium. That was kind of like a highlight for him. So, you know, hopefully he remembers those things and it's all kind of a big happy memory.
So you've already taken away one of my questions, which was, will you be heading to the national championship? If it's an exorbitant amount, I don't expect you to be headed to Miami. I mean, in terms of the game itself, I know you were a little uneasy with some of the mistakes that the Miami University of Miami was making. But I don't know, from watching it on television, they seem like the more physical team from start to finish, and they just seemed like the better team, quite frankly, from start to finish. At least that's how it played out on television.
Yeah, no, I don't think there's any doubt, and I mean, like, you know, you watch enough sports in your life, right? And you just sometimes you get that bad feeling. You know, you're making a lot of mistakes. You're letting the other team hang around. Usually you end up paying a price for that. You know, we see it in baseball. You and I talk about it 25 times a year probably in the regular season. You know, you let a team hang around when you shouldn't. Generally, you're not going to get the result you want. And so, you know, like it was going through my head the whole game. I was like, you know, we might be 15 mistakes better than Ole Miss, but we're not 20 mistakes better than Ole Miss. Yeah, you know, I'm like, it felt like they made 20. I mean, there were two dropped pick sixes, you know, a couple missed wide open, probably would have been touchdown throws.
Yeah.
You know, other drops, you know, with the receiving core, the busted play, the missed field goal, all that, you know, it's kind of like, oh man, like the penalties. And like they made more mistakes in that game than they made probably in the previous six games put together. And it was like, you know, usually you get this deep into a playoff run or deep into
that.
An important game. Yeah, you're not going to get away with that. But I think that goes to just how much better they were. And the cool thing, you mentioned this, like, not to get two X's and O's, but, like, they are a physical football team, both sides.
Yeah.
And, you know, that still wins in 2026, which is cool because, you know, I think a lot of people, you know, sort of you had the analytics revolution in baseball that we talk a lot about on the broadcast, and, you know, kind of how maybe that had gone too far, you know, with some things. I think you had a similar thing play out in football. And, you know, that they're a really good reminder that if you have a dominant line, one or the other, or both, as I think is the case with them, you're still going to win some football games.
Yeah.
It's fun to watch, I think.
You're going to be in position, for sure, to win some of those football games.
Yeah.
Jesse Agler joins us here, my partner, voice of the San Diego Padres. Was it as intense in the building as it seemed on TV? There were times where it felt like you could, like, cut the tension with a knife through the television screen.
From moment one.
I mean,
it was like, first of all, like walking in, this is a little bit like, you know, maybe TMI personal, but like walking in, you know, like I grew up in South Florida. I went to the University of Miami. So like in my life, I'd always taken for granted that like you're going to be surrounded by people who are fans of this team. You know, you go to the games or whatever. And like I've been here on the West Coast for, you know, since 2014, 12 years. And like walking in yesterday and like seeing all these people in Miami shirts, I was like, oh man, like I kind of like chilled. Like it was just weird. You know, I was like, I haven't experienced this in so long. It was kind of a weird, you know, moment of like feeling something that I hadn't felt in a long time. And then like from the time we got into the stadium about an hour before kickoff. And I mean, the place was pretty much like packed. Everybody was pretty much in their seats like an hour out. And like both sides, the Ole Miss side, the Miami side. And it was just like everybody knew A, how big of a game it was. And everybody knew, B, it was probably going to be a close game. Like, nobody, I think, on either side was like, yeah, we're going to run away with this. And it certainly played out that way. And, I mean, it was like, it was intense. It was like every mistake felt like a dagger to the heart. And as I said, there were a lot of them. Like, it was just, it was wild, man. Like, I get the reputation, and it's well-earned, I think, when it comes to Padre talk, right? I'm like, and you too, like, very even-keeled.
Intellectual
more than emotional, right? Like that's kind of our niche. You and I have like carved out. We're going to be like the sensible people when it comes to the podcast. You've seen me watch Miami football.
It ain't that.
So you can imagine, you know, like last night, and I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, like
Were you able to go to sleep after that game last night? Like, was it hard to fall asleep?
Oh, I was up. First of all, it took like, you know, it's an 11-minute drive with no traffic back to where we were staying. It took an hour because of the traffic
coming out.
Of the, and then I was up, when we got back to the hotel, I was up for like another 2.5 hours. Like, just like,
trying to calm
down. 30 cups of coffee.
That's great. Jesse Agler joins us here on Gwynn and Chris. I got to get some of these baseball questions in because we haven't really talked. Padres were able to bring back Michael King. Obviously, that was a piece that you kind of need it. You were already going to miss out on one of your big pitchers that left already in Dylan Cease. How big of a signing, obviously, was this for the Padres?
I mean, it felt to me like it was critical, you know, and it was cool because you know how the rumor mill works, right? What was it, a week before that, you saw, you know, the John Boy or whoever had a post. It was like, oh, the finalists for Michael King are the Orioles and the Yankees and the Mets, maybe, I don't remember, some other East Coast team.
Wasn't the Padres, I know.
Yeah, it wasn't that, that's right. And then next thing you knew, you know, AJ did his thing. And, you know, I think, you know, we were at the Michael King press conference, and clearly this place has come to mean something deep to Michael King.
Yeah.
Not only to Michael King, but to his lovely wife, Sheila, their newborn, to his parents, to his family. Like, and I relate to this. You know, you come here and it feels like the farthest place in the world from where you're from. And it feels so right. It feels so much like home. And he clearly has that. And I think, you know, that just adds to the value that you're getting. And it allowed you to kind of bring back somebody that is so critical to your on-field thing. And, you know, I talked to both Michael and AJ about it that day. Like, this was not the case with the Padres all that long ago. We're like, it's that kind of free agent destination. And so what, you know, ownership and the business side in terms of attendance and marketing and everything that we've created here, and obviously the baseball side, have manufactured in San Diego, it has completely changed the way free agents view the San Diego Padres. And it is now a top list, a bullet point number one destination for guys, whether they played here or not. And that's something we should probably step back and appreciate often. Not that I got to tell you, but like that wasn't the case for a lot of years.
I think it's just something that kind of just flies under the radar, right? Because every offseason, AJ's is right squarely in the mix of things. But it's important to remember that that wasn't all that easy before. You couldn't even get in the door sometimes to talk to some of these free agents now.
And I know people don't want to like go crazy on like the Eric Hosmer talk, but like it when you write the book on this era of Padre baseball, that's chapter one. And getting a guy who was looked at the way he was looked at by other players, you forget everything else, the way he was looked at by other players, he had the ultimate respect after the World Series in Kansas City and what he had accomplished there and the way he came up with that group of guys there. The guys around the league saw Eric Hosmer as a dude, okay? And so when a dude signed here, that raised some eyebrows. That turned some heads. And that kind of got the ball rolling on the whole thing. It's incredible.
There's no doubt. All right, we about 32 days before pitchers and catchers report. How ready are you to get this thing rolling again?
I'll be ready, baby. No, I'm pumped, man. Like, you know, I don't know if it's the same for you, but like, you know, for me, the second the season ends, there's like a little bit of like, oh my gosh, I can breathe. You know, you're upset about the way it ended this year, certainly, but it's like, okay, like, I know I can go to the gym and like take my kids to school every day now. And then for me, like by Thanksgiving, I'm like, you know, I'm like an addict. I'm like scratching my arm. I'm like, I need some baseball. And then the holidays come and that's kind of a good distraction.
Just family time.
But you know, January 1st, it's like, all right, man, let's go. Like, you know, kind of tapping the foot a little bit, like, let's get this thing going. So the Canes football team has given me a nice, you know, sporting outlet, I guess. And they got one more, thankfully, 10 days from now. But, you know, I'm ready to go. I stayed in Peoria the last two nights for the football game. So I got a little bit of like a taste
already.
I went in, you know, I went into the office. I saw Todd and everybody. So I'm fully ready to go, as I'm sure you are.
Yep, indeed. Jesse, appreciate
Thank you so much to Jesse Agler for joining us. That was awesome. That must have been incredible to be there for to see his college win. The semifinal game, now they're in the final back at home in Miami. Thanks to everyone who joined us this week. Appreciate you all. We are going to be back on Monday. There is no Scraby Show tonight. New Scraby Show schedule in the offseason Monday through Thursday, 6 to 7 p.m. But we will be previewing the Monday night football game. Oh, yeah, Texans and Steelers. Texans and Steelers will be on Monday night. But I hope everybody has a great weekend. Be safe. Daily Gripe for Rod. Daily Gripe for Rod is I cannot stand it when I lose my car key, which is something I do quite often. I lose my car key quite often. This morning, I could not find it for the longest time, and it ended up being under my bed. So next time, I should check there. Have a great weekend, everybody.